Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Welcome to Spectrum. This is Steve Warren, and we have another writer with us this week on our weekly program. Her name is Kim Fu, and Kim has a book that has just come out. It takes the reader in a variety of different directions, and there are a number of circles that might not normally touch that end up touching in this book. And so we're going to explore that. Kim, welcome to China America Radio.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. A little bit of background. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up, school, that kind of thing, the backstory.
Sure. I grew up in a small municipality that's next to Vancouver in British Columbia in Canada, which has a very high immigrant population. It was an unusually diverse area where I could kind of live in a bubble of, you know, racial harmony, or so it seemed. And then as an adult, I moved to Montreal, where I did my undergrad at McGill. And then I came back to Vancouver and did a Master of Fine Arts at the University of British Columbia, which is where I wrote this book. My father was an engineer, and my mother was in the sciences, and then was an administrator at an engineering firm. And then one of my sisters was also an engineer, and the other one got a PhD in biochemistry. So, and it's not only them, but all of my extended family, my cousins and uncles and aunts, sort of everyone was a scientist or an engineer or an architect or a lawyer. It was a very limited set of professional careers.
So in this high-tech hierarchy of your family, along comes this person who wants to write. How did you leverage getting that career off the ground with your family?
When I was little, I always wrote, and I wrote stories and poems in a newspaper, and I entered contests too. And I gave it a real shot when I was young, but it was eventually explained to me that, you know, this is a hobby and it's not a career, and you're not going to make a living at it, which is a reasonable and realistic thing to say. And so when I finished high school, I thought, okay, it's time to put away this childish hobby. And I went and I tried to get a degree in chemical engineering. But I only lasted a year, and I was completely miserable. And it was the only time in my life when I wasn't writing. And at that point I said, I have to give this a real shot. And after that, they were understanding. They were supportive.
The history of most writers starts with short stories, starts with, you know, novels on subjects with which the people are intimately familiar. You kind of jumped in full blast with this story, and we'll tell the audience, we don't want to give away too much, but we will tell the audience a little bit about the story. It does take place in Canada, and it does take place in a Chinese immigrant family. But in your words, what's the elevator speech on describing the book in your words?
Well, this Chinese immigrant family has four children, and it is the story of all of them, but primarily the story of the second youngest child, who is thought to be the only son, but is in fact another daughter.
Early on in his life, he thinks as a girl, thinks being a girl, wants to be a girl, and doesn't quite understand the feelings, the oppressiveness of being under the jurisdiction of his father, who was the very essential, I want some to carry on the lineage of the family type of father. How did you draw those characters? I know everybody asks authors, are these based upon real people? Clearly, they're composites of lots of different people, but how did you come by deciding to create this story and this family?
At the time I was writing it, they felt like real people to me. They felt complex and contradictory, and like I had no control over them, and I didn't know where they came from. Looking back on it now, though, I think that the father was most reflective of my own experiences, and Peter's three sisters sort of represent different aspects of the relationship between sisters to me. That the oldest one, she sort of takes on how older sisters seem really glamorous and mysterious and perfect, and then the disillusion that comes with that. And I think the middle sister, Helen, she takes the brunt of the competitiveness between sisters, the way you look at this person as though, you know, that you're always going to be compared for the rest of your lives. And then the youngest sister, Bonnie, she reflects the way your sisters are your peers and your friends in the same way you would be friends with someone else, and how lucky you are to have that in your own house. And I think that they all grew from these feelings and beliefs I have about sisterhood.
Our guest this morning is Kim Fu. She is a writer, an author with a book that's just come out. And the title of the book is called For Today, I Am a Boy. And that, I put that pause in there because obviously there's role playing. And he plays the role of a boy as much as he possibly can in his formative and growing up years. How did you research the book? Is this just what Kim Fu thought would go through the mind of someone, or did you tap into some real experiences, real people?
So before I started the book, quite a long time before I started the book, on the suggestion of people I knew within the community, after we talked about their experiences and their concerns, they recommended some books, mostly of memoir and personal essay by trans individuals. And then I also read magazine articles and scientific papers. But as for their actual influence on the book, both of those were problematic in their own ways. The memoir and the nonfiction, they're very personal and they're very individual. They're very specific stories that don't necessarily have anything in common with each other. And they don't reflect some kind of common core experience. And then the scientific journals and the magazine articles have the opposite problems. They're typically written by, you know, by people who aren't trans and who might see connections that aren't necessarily there. And so I think all that was really important for me to read, and it was good for me to do all that research. But I think the book still comes from something very separate. I had to put all that research away and then just write a character who felt true to me and reflected my own feelings about gender and my own experiences with gender and sisterhood and family.
Throughout the book, the character, Peter, pretty much leads a regular male life, never publicly. Comes out to the other side of his feelings, the other side of his life, only privately, only when he's at home or in the apartment or someplace. Was there a reason that you didn't have him expressing himself publicly, even after he moved away from home and he wasn't under the watchful eye of his family and his father?
I think the shadow of his father never leaves him, and that the command of, you know, of lineage and manliness, that never leaves him. That affects him very deeply for his entire life. I also think that that Peter does encounter a lot of people who see who he really is without him saying it, or without him even being able to articulate it to them necessarily. People who understand him, or at least understand him in their own way, and that all the way along he tries out different ways of, you know, of performing being a man and of being a woman too. I think he looks at a lot of women and thinks about different ways of being a woman and tries to, and is trying to figure out his own gender identity, even though he would not necessarily think of it in that way, even though it's not necessarily a conscious journey. He didn't realize that his own experience was not singular, that he wasn't all alone in the world and the only one going through this, and that there might be an answer or a community. It just, because his world begins so small and haunts him so deeply, you know, there's only so far he can get.
The experiences that he has with the other kids growing up, the bullies, the people in school, and all of that, how different would this book have been, or how similar would this book have been, if the character was not inside a female, but just gay? Any different?
I think it would have been extremely different. I think within the book, Peter never even really gets to the question of sexuality, of, you know, who he finds attractive and, you know, who he might want to be with. I think that Peter has so much trouble relating to his own body that that relating to other people's bodies is almost impossible to think about, and that for Peter, one has to be settled before the other.
He seems to be someone who models his feminine side after models of people he sees in magazines, films, movies, personalities, which I guess could probably be sort of a distorted viewpoint of women in general. But I guess that's the best model he had, was acting out. He even eventually took the name of a famous star.
I don't think that's an uncommon experience for girls. I think young girls often look, you know, they look for role models in wherever they can find them as ways, because you know, femininity and womanhood is a very mysterious thing that requires a lot of tiny performances and you know, there's so many little skills you have to pick up just to you know, perform as a woman. And I think for Peter, it's exceptionally hard and exceptionally protracted. Like, it takes him decades and decades and decades. But what he is actually experiencing is what most little girls experience.
At some point in the book, we won't say whether it's in the middle or in the end or in the beginning or wherever it is, Peter does encounter a group of like-minded people that can share at least some, if not intimate knowledge, at least some support and some comfort. And as you were saying a while ago, not the only one in the world. In writing this book and in fleshing it out to people, have you gotten more actively involved with those same groups of people now that are out there today that might not have been a long, long time ago for offering support and like-minded situations?
At the time I started the book, I would say I was deeply involved with groups of friends who were very active in the community already. And it was important to me to have those people in my life as I was writing the book and to bring it to keep all those thoughts in mind, to keep that their real experiences and their struggles at the forefront of my mind. And also to remember that these are real people facing, you know, real violence, that you have to be very careful about how you portray underrepresented people. For how people have reacted as the book was fleshed out, I actually, as I said, I did an MFA, and this was written largely in those classrooms with people who were also part of the community and were willing to share their own experiences and their own reactions, which was very important, fleshing it out. And now it's still so recent, like it's just come out, that I'm still waiting to see how the community at large reacts. And I'm very interested in that conversation.
It gives another voice. I mean, there, if you go to the, you know, the bookshops around the world, there are now dozens, if not hundreds of thousands of places people can go to get information that wasn't always available. Our guest is Kim Fu. She is the author of a book that's just come out called For Today, I Am a Boy. Let's go back to the publishing part of this. What was your first pitch to the publisher? How did you sell the idea?
It was always pitched as the story of four sisters, one of whom is born biologically male. I don't think it was very different than it was now at that point of how it was sold. I've been extraordinarily lucky at every stage. You know, one of my professors in my MFA actually just cold wrote to my top choice of agent. Like, they didn't actually know each other. And she just said, you know, I have the student, she has this project, she needs the best representation, and she thinks that's you. And she agreed to read it, she agreed to talk to me, and eventually to represent me, which is, you know, an extraordinary set of circumstances. You know, the book sold very quickly, and I've just been so lucky, and everything has progressed so positively all the way.
So where are we going with this? Is there a possibility people will like these characters enough to want more of them in the future? I mean, where would you see the trajectory of this current book going, not only in terms of acceptance, but also you've spent a lot of time creating these characters. You don't want to close, you know, the back dust jacket and never hear from them again.
Up until the very last draft, which for me was like the 10th major draft, I had trouble reading the book as a book. I kept seeing it as, you know, a matrix of mistakes and the versions it had been, and, you know, of words and commas and, you know, should this be here, and remembering how it was. And then the very last time I read the book, you know, for copy editing, it felt to me like a book, and I could experience it. And, you know, it sounds a little arrogant, but that was the first time when I felt for it in the way that I hoped that readers would. And after that experience, I felt ready to let go. I felt confident to say that this is the book, it is what it is, and it's done. And now I'm looking forward to jumping into a new world and staying there for years.
The book, once again, is called For Today, I Am a Boy. And it is, as we mentioned at the beginning, it's the story of an immigrant Chinese family that moves to Canada. The parents are from Guangzhou and Beijing, respectively, I believe. So we have both South and North. We have both Cantonese and Mandarin, although Cantonese was apparently the language of choice in the family. Anything particularly Asian about the story other than the father's typical stereotypical wanting to, you know, have a son lead. I mean, there's still arguments today about boy babies versus girl babies and all of that. Do you have any sort of Asian halo effect or influence in this besides just the family?
For the father, it's much more complicated. It's very complicated. His experience is very specific to a immigrant male from China. The way he's confronted in the world, and the things that are assumed about him, and the way he's first received in every encounter, I think deeply affects who he is, and then the way he treats his children and his wife. And I think what she loses is so much of her culture in his desperate desire to assimilate and to succeed by assimilation. For her, that is the greatest loss, and that is a multifaceted loss. That it's food, it's ancestor worship, it's all of her relatives back home, it's a language, it's everything under this dream that it will make things better for their children. And what's interesting to me is their children, having lived in this scrubbed household where they know very little about Asia and very little about their own heritage, they still move through the world as Asian people. They're still received as Asian people, and they're still forced to navigate those expectations.
I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, and I wish you well. I think you're going to have some exciting journeys ahead, and I'm sure that you're going to be taking a few tangents in and out of your experience and your interviews and your press parties and stuff over the next couple of years. It's an interesting read. I think it'd be something for everyone, maybe not too young, because there are some expressions that are in there that might not be understood. But Kim, thank you so much for coming by and sharing it. Once again, the book is For Today, I Am a Boy. The author is Kim Fu. And thanks for being our guest on Spectrum this week.
Thank you again for having me. Appreciate it.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Radio, a weekly public service program featuring news, information, lifestyle experiences, and stories of interest to our listeners in the United States and around the world. If you have suggestions for future topics or guests to be featured on an upcoming Spectrum program, send them to us at programming@chinaamericaradio.com.